Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
And we're back with poet Thomas Kneeland.
I want to speak to like putting myself out there. And so there is a poem I wrote about a month and a half ago. And it was a very short poem about fathers. Mm-hmm. And it was reflective of how I felt about my father, but I wasn't angry.
Right.
And so... but I really wanted to put it out there because maybe there's someone else who has this same issue and may need to find somebody to resonate with, you know?
Yeah.
And I asked my mother to send this poem to my dad. And I didn't know if she was going to send it. I didn't know if he was going to respond. But a day later, I received a phone call, and it was my dad.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, and on that day, we officially reconnected. And not only that, I discovered that I have two other siblings who also live in California.
Wow.
So, and from that moment, it was like, yeah, okay. I'm not only just, you know, telling people, oh, yeah, poetry can change your life. It can, alter perceptions and, you know, this, that, and the third, but it literally happened for me, like something that I've been waiting on for, you know, years.
Yeah.
Actually, because I wrote a poem.
Wow.
And so that's how I know, you know, it's like you said, this poetry and putting ourselves out there and making ourselves vulnerable for other people, you know, to see is actually a strength. And allows other people to find that strength within themselves too.
Yes, exactly. Well said.
Yeah.
Well said.
That's
and what an amazing outcome for you. That's very, very inspirational. So
I want to make sure that we give people the opportunity either to have you read a poem while you're with us or to tell us everywhere where we can find your poetry if we want to find it.
Absolutely. Excuse me. So I have three publications. My first one is called Shades of Gold. That actually started as my undergrad thesis. My professor was former poet laureate Joe Hightouse.
Oh, yeah.
And he told me that I should have published it years ago, but I didn't. So I waited until 2018. To publish that. It's on Amazon. It can be bought directly. My second book, Uncaged, Breathing in Public, as I referred to earlier, was released in October 2019. And that's also on Amazon. It can be bought directly. And then my third publication, which is The Injustice League, Dark Matters, is on my thomasneeland.com website. That chapbook is actually free to the public.
Oh, wow.
Because with everything that's going on, it's great to, you know, read someone else's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I don't feel that people should have to pay for something that should, you know, be heard.
Right.
You know? Or something as serious as what's going on right now. Like, those things should be heard.
Yeah.
So that can be found on my website by just going to my website, quite literally. As far as, like, any poems that have been published online, I actually just had a poem published by Up the Staircase Quarterly on Saturday.
Oh, cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very excited because it's my first, like, poem that's been published anywhere. So it's called Breakthrough, and this poem is for George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Drayshawn Reed. So I would love to read that.
Please do.
Yes, please.
All right. Breakthrough. When you strangle us, we don't just die. We struggle to breathe for 8 minutes, 46 seconds, followed by our first line break, and then our bodies have to work harder to defend the front line with interrupted enjambments, mixed brain signals, adrenaline and delayed flight responses, and blue-collared bloody hands, and burnt rubber fumes, and singed nostrils, and bleeding nostrils, and cries for our mothers, and cries for our mothers to save us from our hunters. When you kill us, we don't just die. You shoot us without accurate facts. We bleed betrayal and stereotypes, short-circuit our stereo system with slain blood. We die in rounds because you thought that one wasn't enough. Perhaps one would keep us alive, but with 8 or 9 shots, your evaluation likely says exceeded expectation. When you shoot us, we don't just die. We die slowly, and you change the story quickly. Then our families have to work harder to defend honor that we have already earned, serving a country that never welcomed us with life-giving love, but instead snatched us in with death-giving prejudice. When we die by your hand, we don't just die. Our skin breaks and everything speeds up before slowing down. After the ground receives our blood, our spirits escape to ancestral refuge before another round, before another knee, before another corrupt officer kills our spirit of hope for a more just society. Thank you.
Wow.
That was powerful.
Yeah, that's beautiful and hard to hear at the same time, but it's very well, very well done, and really gets the message across.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes the hardest to hear things are the things that most need to be said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's been such a strange year between COVID-19 and the injustices that we're seeing played out. Well,
yeah.
I probably don't want to start talking about politics, but, you know, the kind of stuff that is just, it's, you know, every day you wake up and it's just like, you kind of, you know, before you even get out of bed, you're like, okay, what today, you
right.
know? And I feel like that poem addresses the Black Lives Matter and those particular people that you referenced who just lost their lives in just the wrong, tragic, awful ways that they did.
Yep.
And the fact that, you know, time passes and the police don't get arrested and things don't change, and yet you have to take hope when there's, you know, the protests going on and the people trying to raise awareness and I think poems like yours can change the world. I really believe that, and I'm so glad that you put that one out there with us and you know, submitted it for publication and everything, because I feel like it is poetry like yours that will change the world. For the better.
You know,
for the better, I will say. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I submitted this poem somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And the response that I got was that my poem had robust language.
Ooh.
and you know, I didn't know what to make of it, but mm-hmm. I just kind of concluded for myself that perhaps the poem was too convictive, maybe.
Hmm.
Maybe before for the
for maybe that for particular reader.
Yeah.
Judging panel yeah. Or receiving end, maybe. Yeah. I did not hear your poem that way. I thought it was robust in terms of it really, I could visualize what you're writing about. I could see the scenes, and the imagery was so very powerful of, you know, I'm thinking now of like when there was a line in there about the blood in going into the ground, you know, into the earth. And I just, you know, you can visualize that. So I felt it was very powerful language. I don't know that I would have said that as a criticism, though. I thought that was a wonderful part of it that made it very accessible, you know. Next up, the third part of our interview with Thomas Neeland. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.